Shalom, shalom, everybody, and welcome to the Restoration Hour. We hope that you've had a wonderful weekend, and you know, maybe you're still even in the weekend, which is really cool, but we hope that you have been blessed and that you've been doing super, super well. So welcome to the Restoration Hour. It's myself, Aaliyah, and the co-pilot for today is Yosef. Yosef, how are you doing?
I'm doing good, and yourself?
You know, imagine like that's a whole cockpit scenario, you know, in an airplane. And it kind of feels like that often on the Restoration Hour. Welcome to everybody. We are so looking forward to being with you. And I'm going to say shalom, shalom, shalom. Welcome, welcome, welcome. I really just pray that you guys are being super blessed. I know that this time of year gets quite busy. And yeah, I've been hearing about a lot of people getting busy and just feeling needing of that break. You know, everything that people have been going through the last 2 years. We hope that you are blessed.
You know, Aaliyah, you were talking about a cockpit situation. I think everybody probably wonders why every week you're the one that says hello, and I'm the one that chimes in afterwards. It's because there's so many different things to press on and off before it starts. So yeah, it's like a cockpit situation.
But isn't that how it is on a plane? Like, you know, I don't really remember, because usually you're buckling up at that point, and then that guy's voice comes over, and usually it's a guy. Well, in most cases it's a guy, and he comes over, and they all sound exactly the same, right? Doesn't matter what plane you're flying on, which country, everyone sounds the same. And it's usually the co-pilot, isn't it, that comes on and says, your captain is this and that, because the captain's busy doing everything, and so it's pretty cool. And then it's so interesting. Speaking of that, actually, Yosef and I were on an airplane. When was it? Oh, well, it must have been pre-COVID era that we have just entered in. So maybe it was 2019. And we were flying somewhere, and Yosef said to me, I was busy doing something, and you know, he said to me, did you hear? We have a female pilot. You know, and I've always wanted to fly on a plane where we had a female pilot. And Yosef was just like, we have a female pilot. This is so exciting. You know, and I instantly felt safer. Not because of any other reason, but because I've always wanted to have a female pilot. We don't have a lot of female pilots flying. And here in South Africa, we definitely don't have a lot. I know I've seen really cool articles on female pilots in America, and, you know, even daughters and mothers flying together, which is really cool. But in South Africa, we don't have much of that. So yes, you have a female co-pilot, so that's pretty cool. Great. Today. You know what? Today I'm going to say this to you about the Restoration Hours, that we have messages in a message in messages, which means that small words, which we believe are for people listening this evening. And you know, it's so interesting preparing for the Restoration Hour and just hearing things that Abba Father wants us to share. And today, just sitting and asking the Father more information about what he was trying to say. And I read back on, you know, in May this year, when he gave us just this new revelation of saying, it's no longer the coffee break, it's the Restoration Hour. And I was just reading through what Abba Father said to me. And he was saying, you know, this is a time where it needs to be about Yeshua showing up and speaking to people. And, you know, not only praying with people and praying for them, but allowing Abba Father to work in people, even though we are not, you know, physically together. And he reminded me of that. And so that is what today's Restoration Hour is going to be all about. It's about Abba Father wanting to be with you. Abba Father wanting to speak to you. Abba Father wanting to give out messages that if it's for you, then you take it. You know, if it's for your brother or sister next to you, then they will take it. Just have an open heart to be able to receive. And there's a lovely saying in Judaism where they always say, lift up your heart in the highest way, which means we just open up our hearts to receive whatever Abba Father wants to do with us, Yosef. Mm-hmm. And on that note, I'd like to ask if you please pray for us.
Let's do that. To all of you, like Leah said, it's great to see you, and we pray that you're all well, and we really do pray this evening that Yahweh will richly bless you, and that whatever we discuss, whatever is said, that it will also uplift you and strengthen you for the days ahead. So let's pray. Father, we want to thank you in the wonderful and powerful name of Yeshua Mashiach. Father, that you are for us and not against us. Father, that you are our God. Father, you are Elohim, the one true Elohim, and Father, that we can come to you with all kinds of requests, Father, and that you are not a God, Father, that when we ask for something, Father, that you'll give us a stone. So we ask, Father, tonight in the name of Yeshua, Father, that you will really just lead us and guide us. Father, that you'll pour out your Spirit upon us and that you'll strengthen us. I pray, Father, for every single person that joins us this evening, Father, and those that will listen after. Father, that your Spirit will speak to their heart. Father, that they'll leave this place changed as it is, Father, the restoration hour, that we will be restored, that we will be renewed, and Father, that we will have the eyes to see and ears to hear, that we will move forward with you, Father, in the way that you want us to, and we thank you for that. We give you all the glory and all the honor. In Yeshua Mashiach's name we pray. Amen.
Amen. You know what? You started off this restoration hour with going, with being in the Spirit, because you didn't know I was going to read Matthew 7, and it talks about asking and receiving and about giving the stone.
Amen.
You just prayed that.
Amen.
So we're starting off with that then this evening. And I love that, because our Father just shows up in such amazing ways. I'm so excited. I'm so excited this evening, because I know Yahweh is good. And, you know, it's not because life is easy or because it's just Yahweh just shows up. It's not magical. It's just, you know, walking with him and having him with us. And, you know, in just really speaking to him and saying to him, Abba Father, you know, what is it that you want your people to know? What is it that you want your people to hear? He really said to me that, you know, there are people that join us, that are going to be with us, who don't have because they haven't asked. Mm. And I want to say that again. You know, they don't have because they don't ask, or they're too afraid to ask, or they haven't asked, or they feel like, I can't ask Yahweh for more because I have so much.
Mm.
You know, I want to just be grateful, but I have these needs.
Mm.
Or I don't want to ask Yahweh because I just never thought about asking him. Sometimes in life we have needs, or there's wants. It could be anything. It takes the form of anything, and we don't go to him and ask because maybe we just don't think about asking, you know. And it's not because we don't think about going to the Father. It's just because we just genuinely don't think about asking, and we don't have because we don't ask. So sometimes in life, for some people, and I have heard this, some people don't want to ask Yahweh for more because they feel like they've been blessed so much. So it's kind of like, well, imagine going to a friend and saying, well, I have this need, and your friend gives you R1 million, you know, and you're like, wow, this is amazing, thank you. And then next week you have to go to your friend and ask for a car. You're not going to do that because you feel like, wow, this person now is going to think I'm asking too much. And sometimes it's like that with the Father. Sometimes we think, wow, look at what the Father has blessed us with. And we practice that gratitude in our lives. We genuinely are grateful. But then some people feel like, because they have so much, and because they bless so much, and they're grateful for those blessings, how would it be if I just go to him again and say, you know, I need healing, or Father, I'm actually looking for friends, like provide me friendships, or Abba Father, I have a need to do this, and I don't have the finances for it, or Father, I'm starting up a business, and you know, I feel like you've blessed me so much in my life. How can I ask you to provide for my business? How can I ask you to bring an investor my way? How can I ask you these things when you've given me so much? And it comes from a place of humility. That really does come from a place of humility. I have seen that in people. They genuinely are just have a humble heart. They don't want to, you know, just over ask and just continually ask. But Yahweh says that, you know, it's got to do with our hearts. He knows the position of our hearts. And his resources, you know, including, when I say resources, I mean, you know, not only what he can give us, but his kindness and his love, his understanding, his compassion. It's all limitless. You know, what Yahweh wants to do in our lives, what he wants to give us, who he wants us to be, and the grace we need for that, or the strength, or the blessings that we need for that, it's limitless. So, you know, Matthew 7 says, from verse 7, it says, ask and it will be given to you, seek and you will find, knock and the door will be opened to you. For everyone who asks, he who seeks finds, and to him who knocks, the door will be opened. For which of you, if his son asks for bread, will give him a stone, or if he asks for a fish, will give him a snake? If you then, though you are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give good gifts to those who ask him? So see, in everything you do, and then he goes on to talk about doing unto others. But the key here is asking, knocking, seeking, finding.
You know, Leah, I think sometimes that when we read that scripture that we tend to steer a little bit away from the words that are actually written there about ask and you will receive, knock and the door will be open for you. Because, you know, we come, I don't know how to put this, we live in a society today and where religion has taken on this form of like a prosperity gospel preaching. So immediately we hear, or when we read that passage of scripture, it goes immediately to that side of kind of like, you know, the blessings of the physical. But we are blessed in a sense when we receive things in the physical, and we need those physical things in order to live and to do what we need. But you know, this evening when I was praying and I was saying those words about, you know, when we ask, the Father's not going to give us, when we ask him for bread, he's not going to give us a stone. I really felt in my heart that it's almost as if the Father wants us to ask for things that will enable us to be the people that he's created us to be. And sometimes we are so scared to ask for those things, maybe because we, like you're saying, we feel like we have so much. But yet the Father wants us to ask for things like wisdom. He wants us to ask for things like discernment. He wants us to ask for the wisdom to work better with the way that we do things in business. Or he wants us to ask for that heart of compassion for the nations. And it's about seeking and knocking and continuing to knock until we receive those things, because he wants, I really do believe that in this generation that we're living in, the Father is looking for people that are going to portray his kingdom in a way that has not been seen yet upon this earth. And in order for us to do that, to portray the kingdom of our Father, we have to ask him for the things that are needed. And it's not that he's, you know, he can come to you and say, hey, you know what, Elijah, yeah, I'm going to give you, you know, more wisdom, or I'm going to give you, you know, more understanding or more knowledge. But the truth of the matter is, it, like you said, it goes back to the condition of our heart and how much of Yahweh's kingdom do you want? How much of this truth and this life and this goodness do you want? And when we, you know, as children growing up, when you grow up and you need something, you don't have the means to get what you want unless you go out and you, I don't know if your parents made you go work, you know, and wash the car or do whatever you had to do. But most of us growing up, when we needed something that was important, we had to go to our parents and we had to ask. Mm. And if I remember as a young child, having to ask was sometimes difficult. And you have two sides. You have your mother and you have your father. And sometimes mom will say, yes, it's okay. And dad will say no. And you had to maneuver around it. But with the Father, he is wanting you to come to him and ask him for those things, because he wants to bestow on you the blessings of the kingdom, which is not necessarily, you know, just financial blessings or you know, your business blessings. It's the blessings that adds to your life so that you can be a blessing to someone else and so that you can be a better vessel for the kingdom. And now I feel like in the time that we're living in, you know, we as the people of Yahweh, we have been going through seasons continually, and you know, seasons of refinement, seasons of preparation, and some of us want to stay in the season of preparation. We don't want to ask to be released from that place of preparation where we can go out and do more for him, whether it be in your work sphere, whether it be, you know, in your family, or whether it be out there in the world making a difference. We're so scared to ask that we can be released and go out, and we're so scared sometimes as well that, hey, I don't have what it takes. And now Yahweh is saying to us, you know what? You're not having, or you don't have, because you don't ask. Mm. You know, Solomon asked Yahweh for wisdom, and Yahweh didn't just give him wisdom. Because he had so much wisdom, he also had wealth, because he was very wise to work with what he had. So when we ask the Father for what we want, it has to be a request that is found within our heart. And I really do believe, Elijah, that Yahweh creates us in such a way that our makeup and the way that we are and the things that he's blessed us with causes us to have a design, like a model of who we are. And out of that place of who we are as a designed person, when we're filled with Yahweh's Spirit, then Yahweh's Spirit within us cries out, like we know, but it also connects with the Father. So the things that we ask for are the things that are found in his word that is written on our heart. So you're not going to be asking week in, week out, I need a new car, or I need a new, you know, I need a new financial balance to be lifted up. You're going to be asking according to the character and the will of the Father, but also according to who He has called you to be. So we begin to move into kind of that channel or into the place that the Father has designed for us. And the Spirit in us then begins to pray and begins to connect with the Father. And then we start asking, not according to our flesh, but according to Yahweh's Spirit. And then that's when the Father, I really do believe, wants to bless us. He wants to give you that discernment. He wants to give you that understanding of the spirit realm, or He wants to give you the understanding of how to work better with your finances. Maybe not so that you can have the finances, but so that you can kind of sow into His kingdom and work better for His kingdom. Yahweh has different ways of doing different things. But the truth of that passage of scripture is, it says knock. And you know, knocking, Aaliyah, is an action. It's an action, and the truth is, some of us are knocking on the wrong doors. Sometimes we knock on the doors of this world, or we knock on the doors of society and the things of this world, and we knock so hard on those doors because it gives us recognition in the eyes of other people. So we think that if we knock on those doors and those doors open to us, then the recognition that comes along with it is good. Sometimes, Aaliyah, when we knock on the truth, on the door of Yeshua, the door that leads us to that kingdom, it doesn't come with recognition. Sometimes it comes with nothing. Sometimes it comes with pain and suffering and hardship. But Yahweh is saying, knock and the door will be open, and I'll give you what you need so that you can be that vessel, so that you can be that person that you need to be.
You know, I was reading 1 Chronicles 28 and 29 last night. I was just led to read it. And, you know, maybe, you know, I've read the Bible, the whole Bible. But the truth of the matter is, and we always say it, that at certain points in your life, certain things are going to become real, depending on what the Father's going to reveal to you. Excuse me. I'm drinking lemon water, and it's really not a good idea during the restoration hour, because lemon water actually dries your throat out, and I never do it with broadcasting. Anyway, excuse me if I need to cough again. I was reading 1 Chronicles 28 and 29 because I was led there, and it was really amazing. I've read it before, but I suddenly realized we talk a lot about Solomon and his building of the temple, you know, setting up that beautiful temple. And obviously Solomon's temple was incredibly beautiful and just magnificent. We also know that, you know, his father David got all the wood and the timber and the gold and all the physical things that he needed to create that temple. But what really struck me last night when I was reading the scriptures was that we focus so much on the physical things that David gave to Solomon that we actually miss that David, you know, he was king, he was warrior, he was man, he was, you know, killed Goliath, he was anointed when he was little, he was, you know, playing the harp for Saul. He was all these different things in his life. But we miss this point where David actually received the blueprint of the temple from Yahweh. He actually says that God showed me in his spirit these things. And David drew exactly how the temple needed to look. He drew the mercy seat. He had the plans for the Ark of the Covenant. The mercy seat's actually mentioned. You know, he talks about the atonement. He talks about the divisions of the Levites. He talks about absolutely everything. Just as Moses received this revelation of, you know, how the tabernacle would look that he received when he went up the mountain to meet Yahweh, so David also received this revelation of this incredible thing that needed to be. And so it showed that not only was David king and warrior and, you know, going out and defeating people and reigning as king of a united nation, you know, the whole nation of Israel being united under David, and David had lots of wives. He says he has lots of children. You know, he's doing a lot of things, but yet it's almost like there's no limit to who he was. There was no limit to who Yahweh had created him to be. And that's what I want to say today. Just like you say, Yosef, we need to pray and ask for these things so that we can fulfill all that we are meant to be. And I want to say that to you as well. Just like with David, it's part of what I believe we need to be asking for. I mean, how many people can be, even in this life, if you think of people, it's like, how many people can be both a king, a magnificent warrior, a magnificent priest, so to say? Amen. Because David was both king and priest. It's part of what we talk about in the Davidic covenant. He received the blueprint, a supernatural divine blueprint for the first temple that the God of the universe would ever live in. He didn't reveal that. Yahweh didn't reveal it to one of the Levites, who he should have, because they were the priests that served him, right? He didn't reveal it to someone like that. He revealed that blueprint of the temple to David, the king of the nation, who technically on paper was from the tribe of Judah. So maybe he shouldn't have received that revelation. You know, it should have really gone to someone from the Levitical priesthood or someone like that. But there was no limit to who Yahweh created David to be. And I truly believe if we want to be all that we can be in the kingdom, it's like you're saying, that's what we need to be praying for as well. Yahweh, increase my ability, increase my capacity. Someone said something to me this week that really, really was like, wow. It really just stuck in my heart. They were talking about people and about serving. And they said, you know, they were saying this about what they've experienced in ministry. And they said that God revealed to them that they must not pray for more people to impact, but they must pray to make a greater impact with the people they've already been given to lead. Mm-hmm. So in other words, don't pray for bigger platforms or don't pray for more people. Pray to be so good with the people that Yahweh has given you. Pray for the capacity to share all that Yahweh wants you to with those people, whether it be 3 people, 5 people, 10, you know, the people you teach, the people you have around you, whomever it may be, pray to be all that you can be for what he's already given you. And when he wants to, he will take you to other people or different people, or he'll do different things. So when we, it's exactly like you say in Yosef, this is not, Yeshua is not just talking in Matthew 7 about physical things. Mm-hmm. I don't even think he was maybe even thinking about physical things. We don't know what he was thinking. But it's really about being all that we can be as well. And also for what we have need for. You know, if Yahweh has called you to do a task for his kingdom and you lack the resources, you need to be able to ask him. And he says that you can. Ask him for those resources. If you want to do something that is placed in your heart for the kingdom and you don't have, or you have already established something for his kingdom, but you still need to make it a success, ask him to help you make it a success. Ask him to help you do the things that you need to do. And that's my final thought on this Matthew 7 before we go to a song, that Yahweh has really laid on my heart today that there are people that fellowship with us right here on this Restoration Hour that you want to ask Yahweh for things, or you've never even thought of asking Yahweh for things, for certain things that's on your heart right now. And you're not asking the Father for those things, and you don't have because you haven't asked. So this means that he's waiting. His door is open for you to ask him, even if it's just understanding for something happening in your life right now. Even if it's something like business, even if it's something like your purpose, no matter what it is, it is really about you not having because you don't ask. And that shouldn't make you feel guilty. That should make you feel warm and fuzzy, because what it's actually saying is that Yahweh is waiting for you to ask him. And that is, you know, he's a good father. So you can ask him.
You know, Leah, just to backtrack just a second before we go to the song, you know, you were talking about David and how Yahweh had created him to be this man of many different facets. In other words, he did so many different things in the kingdom. But at the same point, you know, David's life is a representation of that kingdom, or of that united kingdom as one people be, you know, underneath Yahweh. But at the same time, it's also talking to us about that Davidic, you know, the Davidic covenant, which is all about the inheritance and all about, you know, living as kings and priests and serving Yahweh in spirit and in truth. But it's also talking about the kingdom, or those people that live with the presence of Yahweh in their lives. And that's what David, you know, is doing. He's literally living his life every single moment as an anointed person of Yahweh. But he is living so that everything that he does is a representation of Yahweh's presence. And then what happens is Yahweh then gives him the blueprints of that tabernacle that is going to have the very presence of Yahweh in it. It's going to be the place where Yahweh is going to dwell. And it should speak to us that when we seek Yahweh and we do what Yahweh's asked us to do, that's when he gives us the understanding of how to live in his presence. And, you know, now more than ever, we've been speaking about this over and over and over. If we want to be people who overcome the darkness, you know, one of us with the presence of Yahweh in us is going to be powerful in a sense. But all of us united and living together and dwelling in the presence of Yahweh, the enemy has to scatter. So Yahweh gives to David the very blueprints of how to dwell with him. What's going to happen? And I believe that as a people of Yahweh, when we seek him and we seek him with all our heart, then that door's open to the kingdom, and he gives unto us the secrets and understanding of his kingdom, so that we can learn more about how to dwell with him, so that we can live in his presence, and then we can overcome. It's only when we're in the presence of the Father in these final days that we are going to really overcome the enemy and be the people that he wants us to be. So again, we have to ask. We have to ask because he wants to give us. He wants to give you new things. He wants to be a good father, like that song says. He is a good, good father. And I know that growing up, my dad wanted to give me good things. It's just the way that any good parent is. So Yahweh wants to give you those good things. He wants to give you what you need for the journey of this life, and so that you make it to the end, so that you are an overcomer. And he will equip you and he will give you what you need if we ask.
Absolutely. We're going to go to our first song of the evening. We pray that you will enjoy the song. And you know what? Just spend some time during the song, maybe seeking out this truth in your own heart and saying, is there something that I want to ask of Yahweh? Is there something that I need? Is there something that's been on my heart, but I haven't asked him yet? Just think about it and maybe ask him during the song. So this is Yes, I Will by Vertical Worship. So enjoy.
Count on one thing, the same God that never fails will not fail me now. You won't fail me now in the waiting. The same God who's never late is working all things out. You're working all things out. And yes, I will lift you high.
Oh,
Yusuf, you know what? Yusuf is flagging me down as though I'm not listening. I'm like enjoying the song and he's just flagging me down. Like, what's going on? What's going on? You know, this is I really like that song, Yusuf. Yes, I Will by Vertical Worship. And you know what? I was really reflecting on this Matthew 7 scripture, and I really do hope that you just took a few seconds, maybe a few minutes during that song, just to consider, what is it that I really want from Abba Father? What is it that I really need to ask Him for? Or what is He saying to me that I've been wanting to ask Him, you know? And I really, really hope that you spend some time, because Abba Father is really saying to you, ask. There's another scripture that was really laid on our hearts, and we were really sitting with this scripture, and I want to share it with you. And I actually, again, didn't realize that it actually connected so deeply to Matthew 7. And it was found in this week's Torah reading in Genesis 32. And it's, you know, a passage of scripture that we actually know quite well, but I want to just read it to you and then share something with you. It's found in Genesis 32, verse 22, and it says, "That night Jacob got up and took his two wives and his two maidservants and his 11 sons and crossed the ford of the Jabbok. After he had sent them across the stream, he sent over all his possessions. So Jacob was left alone. And a man came and wrestled with him until daybreak. When the man saw that he could not overpower him, he touched the socket of Jacob's hip so that his hip was wrenched as he wrestled with the man. And then the man said to him, 'Let me go, for it is daybreak.' But Jacob replied, 'I will not let you go until you bless me.' And the man asked him, 'What is your name?' And he answered and said, 'Jacob.' Then the man said, 'Your name will no longer be Jacob, but will be called Israel, because you have struggled with God and with men and have overcome.' And Jacob said to him, 'Please tell me your name.' And he replied, 'Why do you ask my name?'" You know, we know that depending on what Bible translation you're reading, you know, it says different things. It says the angel came and wrestled with him. This is an angel that appeared as a man. Jacob does ask what his name is. And in some translations, it says, you know, "Why do you ask my name? It is too wonderful to know." So we really do believe that this was Yeshua, you know, before he was revealed in the flesh. So we do believe that this was Yeshua. But what is important here is that Jacob is in a very dark place in this time. We know that he's preparing to meet his brother Esau, who just 20 years earlier wanted to kill him, which is why Jacob was led away into his own personal exile and really just had to go and leave his family, never saw his mother again, which we know was quite hard for him. And so he had to leave his family and he went to go live with Laban, and we know the whole story. And now he's, you know, Yahweh actually appeared to Jacob and said, "Go back to your father's house, go back to your home." And he does. But on the way, he hears that Esau's coming and he's going to meet with him. So who knows? You know, he's thinking at this stage, Esau's going to kill him. It's going to be really bad. And he sends over all his possessions, all his children, all his wives. He puts them in different divisions and they go on, you know, on their own. And he stays the night in this valley and, you know, wrestling the whole night with this angel, which is hours, Yusuf. It is literal hours that he's spending wrestling with this angel in the dark of night at this really dark point. And, you know, one of the things that the Father was also laying on my heart and on our hearts was that a lot of us right now are wrestling very, very different situations. Whether it be, you know, whether it be things in this world that get heavy, you know, collectively the world is going through a lot right now. And yes, people will debate whether it's of people's own, you know, brought it on themselves or whatever. It doesn't matter what the reason is. People have endured loss. People have endured grief. People are losing loved ones right now. People have lost loved ones. People have lost their identity sometimes. You know, people have lost their jobs. People are wondering, what does the future hold? Even believers can feel anxious sometimes, and it's okay to feel that way. The world has changed. We don't know what's going to happen. You know, yes, we know the one who holds everything in his hand. We have that assurity. But sometimes in life, it does get slightly a bit dark, and we can be wrestling. And we don't wrestle with an angel of Yahweh, so to say. But we can be wrestling, Yusuf, with the things of this life. You know, the disappointment that life brings, the broken dreams, that is all part of grief, you know. And we don't often talk about, we associate grief just with maybe loss or death, but it's not. It's you know, the broken dreams, the things that people wanted, the fact that they can't be with their loved ones, you know, during important occasions or during weddings or whatever, because things are different, whether it be loss of income or loss of whatever, just this sense of like we wrestle in this life. And even if it's not now, we will wrestle at some stage in our life over and over and over again. We will wrestle with different things that come across our path. But just like Jacob, he has this wrestling with this angel and it lasts for hours. But it's about not getting discouraged. It's about not giving up. Because to wrestle with this angel, I mean, for hours and hours, took a lot of strength. It took a lot of energy, but it also took a lot of courage. It took a lot of courage to know. And I believe that Jacob did know and have a sense that this is not just a normal person that I'm wrestling with. You know, this is very different. That is why Jacob asks this man, angel, what is your name? He wants to know, because I believe Jacob has the sense of this is a spiritual thing. You know, this is not just this physical wrestling that I'm wrestling with. And when we wrestle through the things of this life, when we do it with Yahweh, when we do it with Yeshua, we can go into the darkness of the night, whether it be the sense of our own grief or, you know, the losses that we endure or the brokenness that we experience in this world. And we walk through those things, not rushing or running through them, but walking through them and into those things with Yeshua. We know that we can come out changed. But there's another point of this that the Father really laid in my heart. Jacob said, I'm not going to let you go until you bless me. I mean, this seems very audacious, doesn't it? It seems very like out there to say, I'm not going to let you go until you bless me. I think many believers these days would be like, oh, you're such a heretic for doing something like that, because how can you demand a blessing? Well, it's not demanding a blessing. It's sensing that this is something that is life-changing for me. Jacob is sensing that this is a moment that will change everything for him, and it was. It was, because here, his name gets changed, exactly like what happened with Abraham, what happened with Sarah. It's exactly this. You're crossing over to be someone different. Our darkness and our pains that we go through in our life and the hardships that we go through in our lives. And I'm speaking to you today from those trenches. I'm not speaking to you from having overcome those things in my current season that's very difficult. In our current season that's very difficult for us as a family and just things that we're going through, it is a trench season where it is a wrestling season. But at the end of the day, Yeshua says that don't do this on your own. I've come to you to be with you when it is hard, when it is tough, when we don't understand, when we don't know. And yet, in this time, Yosef, I am challenged, you know, and encouraged to be as Jacob was, to say, I'm not going to let you go until you bless me. And again, just like we said about Matthew 7, it's not about a physical blessing. It's not about a new car or a new whatever, as people like to teach. It's about changing my spiritual status, changing who I am in your kingdom through what I'm experiencing here on earth. Change me spiritually, supernaturally, through what I will wrestle with in this life. Because what we wrestle with in this life that's physical, whatever it may be, loss or whatever, you can name your own thing. You know, sometimes it can be trauma that you've been through or broken relationships, whatever it may be. It can be a catalyst for incredible spiritual change. If we can take those things to Yeshua, walk with him in it, and be abiding with him in those places, and we can say, don't let me go. Don't let me move out of this grief without being changed. And maybe that change will look like I come out of my place of grief and loss by being a more compassionate human being. It doesn't mean you're going to get blessed with something that you can touch. It means that maybe I'll come out with so much more compassion that I can be a vessel of more love from Yeshua to other people who will experience grief in the years to come. Maybe it will be that, you know, I come out of this place with something that I can impart to a family member about salvation or about what it looks like to carry the fragrance of Yeshua, how to suffer well. There's a way to suffer that is good, so to say. We can suffer well. We can grieve well. It just means that we're doing it in a healthy way. We're not rushing through it, or we're not denying it. We're not, you know, getting stuck in it. We can be in places where it's hard, but we can be there with Yeshua, and we can say, don't leave me here. I want to be changed. Let this situation change me. Maybe I'm struggling because I have to do things that's tough for me. So what is it that I need to receive in this time so that it will be not just something I need to learn, but something that will be a blessing to me?
Amen. You know, Leah, I was just thinking about what we spoke about in Matthew concerning knock and the door will be open, and how that relates exactly to what was happening here with Jacob. You know, he wasn't necessarily at a physical door, but yet he was standing and he was wrestling with Yeshua himself. And he was wrestling to such a point that he wouldn't let him go until he blessed him. And it's the same as what Yeshua is saying. He's saying you don't have because you don't ask, and the door is standing in front of you, but you just need to keep on knocking. And when we knock and that door's opened, we receive not only what we asked for, I believe, but we receive more sometimes than what we have even asked for, because the Father is gracious and compassionate, and he wants us to be changed and renewed. And you know, the story with Jacob is so intense, because he wrestles, and you know, it's such a wrestle, because the scripture says that he leaves with a dislocated hip, and his hip is dislocated. It's different. And I have always spoken and I have taught about that, and people have always asked me, why do you say that? And I've always said that don't trust somebody that doesn't have a spiritual limp. And what I mean by that is, you know, Jacob, he's fighting and wrestling in his self. He's wrestling with Yeshua, and he's saying, I'm not going to let you go until you bless me. And when he eventually gets blessed and his name is changed, he's changed not only on the inside, but he's changed on the outside. And forever after that, he walks around with this limp. And that's exactly how we should be when we have an encounter with the Father that changes us. When we knock and that door's open, it doesn't mean that we're going to be walking around limping. But what it means is that there should be something evident in our lives that other people can see that has changed us. Something that Jacob was his family was able to see. Hey, wait a minute, you left here and you were walking perfectly fine. Now you're coming home and you're limping. What has happened? And he was probably, you know, going to tell them, well, look, I was wrestling with this man and I don't even know what his name is, but he blessed me and he changed my name, and this is now how I am. And the truth is that those limps or those spiritual encounters or those things that happen to us is not necessarily, it's not a bad thing. You know, we look at it and say, oh, well, now the poor guy was limping. But what Yeshua is saying to us is knock and the door will be open. Press in and you will be changed. And that change that you will have will be so significant that other people will begin to ask you, hey, you know what, Yosef, what has happened in your life? And you'll be able to say, hey, you know what, I was once saved, but I had this encounter through my life with Yeshua. I've had a true living encounter, because you know what? I never gave up. I never quit. I never said, hey, you know what? I'm going to let go when things were hard and times were tough and people were few. No, Jacob, he knew that he was facing his brother. And you know, he had a lot of fear, I believe, like any brothers that don't get on. Jacob never got on with his brother Esau. And there was a lot of things that was going on there. And there was a lot of conflict and unresolved issues. So he was probably within himself, he was having a wrestle, a fight. And yeah, he encounters Yeshua at that point of this wrestle inside of himself, and he wrestles with Yeshua, and then Yeshua blesses him and leaves him a different person. And it's through him and through his children that we are the people of Israel today, that we have what this great blessing of what Yahweh has given to us as his people. So remember that sometimes in life we go through hard times. Sometimes in life the struggle is real. That's, you know, the phrase is like that. The struggle is real, but it's true. And it's in those times that we shouldn't let go. You know, the book of Revelation says, he who overcomes will receive these things. So when we are going through hard times and we press in and ask the Father for what we need in those hard times, that's when he says, well, you know what? I'll give you that. But look at the story with Jacob. He blessed him and he changed his name. But not only did he bless him, he left him a different person. He was changed. We see it, like I said, on the outside as, okay, well, physically he was hurting. But in a spiritual sense, what it's saying to us is that Yahweh will change your name on a spiritual level. But at the same time, he will physically and spiritually change you from the inside out. You will be a different person when you receive what he has in store for you. And I think fear grips us so often, where we're so scared to ask, because maybe with that asking, we have this thing in our mind that when I ask, then whatever I receive, I'm responsible for. And I have to take hold of that responsibility, or I have to take hold of these things. So people don't ask because they feel like I'm inadequate, or I'm not so sure that I'm able to do what I feel I should be doing. Whereas Yahweh is saying, you know what, you have everything that you need for life and godliness. Everything that you need is in me. So let me bless you, let me change you, and let me help you. And when he adds to us, Aaliyah, I believe that when the Father adds to us, he gives us enough grace and he gives us enough strength to continue to walk with him. No matter how hard the task is that lies ahead, Jacob had a long journey still to go. He had a long life still to live, and he had many things that he still had to do. But in his life, Yahweh was with him and enabled him to be able to be the man that he needed to be, and to have a family that would become this great family that Yahweh could work through. So when we choose these things, I believe that the Father then blesses us. And it's a blessing that will change your life. But in the same way, he blesses us so that we can be a blessing to others. So that what we have and what we received is not only for ourselves. You know, it starts with salvation. Salvation is not just for us. It's not just something that the Father has given to you and saying, hey, you know what, it's okay, and you just saved. To be saved means that you saved from your sins and from that life of death, so that you can go out and live a life that changes other people's lives, so that we can be the hands and feet of Yeshua. That's why we saved, and that's why we want to be part of Yahweh's kingdom, so that we can be workers in his kingdom and people of his presence. It's so important. So this evening, I really do pray that no matter what you're going through, like Aaliyah said, no matter how you are struggling, whether you're struggling to know more of the Father, whether you're holding on to him like Jacob did because you want to receive a deeper understanding of who he is, or maybe you're struggling because life is hard. Maybe you're in a struggle with yourself and with your flesh and with the spirit and there's this conflict. I want to encourage you this evening that no matter what struggle you're going through, Yahweh is saying, ask and I will give you. I ask and I will help you. Call out to me and I will give you. Knock on that door like Jacob did. He was unwilling to let go of this person for hours upon hours. How often do we quit when times get hard? How often do we turn around and say, well, this isn't for me. You know, I've stopped praying because Yahweh's not answering me. I've given up and it's not for me. So I'm putting that thing on the shelf. Yahweh's saying, don't shelve what I've given you. Don't shelve the desires in your heart, the things that I've given to you, but knock on that door. Knock and don't cease. Knock and continue, and the door will be open. And when it's open, Aaliyah, I believe that on the other side is going to be something that we have never experienced before. It's going to be something new, something dynamic, something that will change us, and something that will make us ready. You know, we are living in the last days. We are living in times that are different than the times before. And if we are to make it to the end, then we need to ask for what we need for this life. You know, the people of Israel were murmuring and crying out and complaining because they were hungry. But Yahweh didn't give them what they wanted necessarily in the sense, but he gave them what they needed. He gave them the manna from heaven and it was sufficient and it sustained them. He gave them quail and it was sufficient and it sustained them. Sometimes we will ask the Father, and what we receive might look strange on the outside, but when you place that manna in your mouth and you do what you need and you eat it, it will sustain you. Yahweh will give you what you need to sustain you in these last days, but we need to ask and he'll do it.
And ask for the energy for the journey. Amen. You know, Yosef, I read something this week that really struck me, because I guess I hadn't read it, you know, in that way before, but someone wrote this down and said that, you know, Moses led 600,000 men out of Egypt, because that was the number, but only two went into the promised land. So don't assume your salvation.
Amen.
And How crazy is that if you think about it like that? 600,000 men, besides women and children, which we know is probably a lot more, and only two entered the promised land. Don't assume your salvation. So what does that teach us? No such thing as once saved, always saved. But it does teach us that we need to be asking for everything that we need for the journey, yes, as well. Yeah. For the energy to serve Yahweh, for the grace when the times are hard, for, you know, just to know his kindness, to know him, for his power and ability to just be with us, to just keep us in this journey.
I think sometimes we forget, you know, when the disciples asked Yeshua, teach us how to pray. He didn't say, you know, he didn't pray and say, you know, give us today our bread for the rest of this year. He didn't say, give us today our bread for the rest of our life. He said, give us today our daily bread. And I think that so often we forget that when we pray and when we ask the Father, there's nothing wrong in asking him on a daily basis for the things that we need. Because every day is different. Every day has new challenges. Every day you're going to meet someone new upon this journey. And yesterday's manna is going to go. That's what happened when they were in the wilderness. You couldn't keep what was given to you the day before because it would just disappear. So it's important that we ask him, give us today our daily bread. Give us what we need for this day. And then Yahweh will equip you for the task at hand for that day and the days ahead and the next day and the next day. And because things are going to change. And the way that we lived and the way that we served him 5 months ago, 5 years ago, is very different to how he wants us to serve him today and how he wants us to see ourselves in his kingdom as we progress and as we mature and as we grow up with him. So it's important that as we do those things, we're going to be having to ask for different kinds of food. Not all of us can remain babies. Not all of us are children anymore. So the milk that we were having is not sustaining us anymore. So we have to now ask for the meat. We have to go to him and say, Father, feed us the things that we need so that we can be sustained, so that we can make it. So please, brothers and sisters, know and understand that asking of the Father is not a bad thing. Asking of your Father to give you the daily bread. He asked his Father. Yeshua wasn't praying to just the heavenlies. He was praying to his own Father. And he was saying, this is how you pray. Pray, our Father who art in heaven, give us today our daily bread. So he was asking his Father the same way that we should be asking our Heavenly Father on a daily basis.
It's time for prayer, but before we get into a time of prayer, we are going to play you a song called Unmovable. It's such a beautiful song. You know what? If you do have a prayer request today, or you just want to put your hand up as well and say, Abba Father, I'm asking you, you know what I need right now, and I just want to put it out there that I'm putting it on record, that I'm making my request known to you. Or if you do have a prayer request, and we see this prayer request for Michelle, and we'll definitely pray for her after the song when we get back. If there's any other person that has a prayer request, you have about 3 minutes to put it down. Enjoy the song, and we'll pray together after this.
The wind is raging, the waves are breaking over me, my faith is shaking, but I am unmovable in you. Armies surrounding, like mountains rising over me, but your shields around me.
Say
Father, we just want to thank you in the name of Yeshua so much, Father, for your word and for your truth. And we thank you, Father, that you give us what we need, Father, for life and godliness, as we said this evening, Father. But more importantly, Father, you want to bless us. You want to give us what we need. You want to answer our prayers. You want to give us, Father, a life where we can overcome. And I do believe, Father, tonight that we need to pray and ask you, Father, to refill us, Father, with your Spirit, the Spirit, Father, that guides us into all truth, but also the Spirit, Father, that helps us to overcome. And Father, I really want to pray this evening for every single person that has joined us, Father, wherever they are, that you will speak to their hearts, Father, that you will fill them with your Spirit, that you will guide them, Father, into all truth. And Father, we know that so often we stand in the gap for other people, but yet we don't stand in the gap for ourselves. So Father, this evening I really want to pray for every single person that is on this coffee break. Father, every single person that is on this restoration hour this evening, Father, that has not maybe put a prayer request down. But Father, I pray that you will help them, Father, that you will strengthen them, that you will guide them, Father, and that you will lead them. I pray, Father, that when they ask you, that you will be an Elohim, Father, that gives them the desires of their heart, but also gives them, Father, what they need for the journey ahead. We pray this evening, Father, for all these prayer requests. And I just want to lift up, Father, Michelle to you. We think of her, Father, that has not been able to get work, Father, for almost 10 months. We pray, Abba, Father, that that wall of hindrance, Father, that is blocking this person from going forward and receiving work again, Father, we ask in the name of Yeshua, Father, that it will crumble and fall. Mm. Father, that this will be a living testimony, not only to the family, but to her life. That, Father, that when you pray, that you do answer prayers, that you are Elohim that is alive, that you are not an idol, Father, but a God that cares for his people and wants to bless them. So, Father, I pray this evening that you will help her, Father, strengthen her in this time, strengthen the family around her. Father, it's never easy when we don't have income. It's never easy, Father, when we are waiting for a door to open. So I pray this evening, Father, that you will strengthen her mind, strengthen her heart, and strengthen her resolute, Father, that she can overcome. And we thank you for this. Father, we also want to pray this evening too, Father, for Colleen and for her family. Father, we want to lift her up before you, Father, her mother, Annie. And Father, we pray as she is now in this personal care home, Father, that the Spirit of Yahweh will be upon her. Father, that there will be peace, true shalom, that far surpasses all understanding. We pray, Father, that every single day that she spends in that place, Father, that you will speak to her, that you will just be with her, Father, and bless her. We know, Father, that these things in life, Father, when people get sick, when people get old, Father, when people get to a point of their lives where it's coming to an end, Father, it's never easy, it's difficult. But we want to pray, Father, for Colleen. We pray, Father, for her mother. We pray for the family, Father, that you will be with every single one of them. Father, we also want to pray this evening, Father, for Aideen. And I want to lift you up, Aideen, before the throne of Yahweh. Father, we pray for your hedge of protection around Aideen. We pray, Father, that her eyes of her heart, Father, will be open, that her spiritual insight, Father, will be in tune with you. I pray, Father, that no weapon formed against her shall prosper, no tongue that is raised in anger shall harm her. We ask, Abba, Father, in the name of Yeshua, that the very Spirit that rose Yeshua from the grave, Father, will be inside of her, igniting a fire and a passion. I pray, Father, that when she prays, that she will pray as you direct her, Father, with both boldness and zeal. And Father, that you will guide her, that she will have eyes that have understanding and a heart to perceive exactly the situation and the place that she finds herself in this season in her life. We pray also, Father, over her work situation, that you will bless her. We ask, Father, that you will raise her up to be the woman that you've created her to be, strong and bold and courageous, Father, in this generation. And we thank you for that. We give you all the glory and all the honor. And Father, we want to lift up even Sudi to you tonight. Father, we know that no matter whether we have one request or whether we have 10,000 requests, Father, that you see them all. So Sudi, tonight I want to pray over your life, and we thank you for who you are. We thank you for the woman of Yahweh that you are in his kingdom, and we pray that you will be strengthened. I pray that every part of you that feels tired, every part of you that feels run down, every part of you that needs rejuvenation, I pray that through the Spirit of Yahweh that you will be revitalized, and that Abba Father will inject you with more of his love more of his truth and more of his power so that you can continue to run the race that is set before you. We pray for every single request, every single one that is heavy on your heart this evening, that you will lay it at the feet of Yeshua and that he will take care of your burdens. Father, we thank you for Sudi. We thank you for her husband. We thank you for her family, Father. And we ask in the name of Yeshua that you will continue to just work, Father, in their lives and through Sudi, Father, in this time. And we bless you. We give you all the glory, Father, and we thank you for this evening. We thank you, Father, that you want us to be like Jacob. You want us not to let go, Father. You want us to wrestle with you. So I pray this evening, Father, that as we do that, that we will not grow weary, that we will not grow tired, but Father, that we will press in and knock on the door, Father, until it is open. And we thank you in Yeshua's name. Amen.
Amen. Thank you so much to each and every one of you for joining us. It's been so good to be with you on the Restoration Hour. Do not forget that we will not be here next week, Sunday, because we have so much going on in the next 2 weeks. We're going to be so busy. But you know what? Don't forget to join us on Saturday evening. I had to think about that one, Yosef. Saturday evening, the 27th, which is next week, Saturday. Saturday evening for us in South Africa for our awesome pre-Hanukkah women's gathering. We are so excited about that. The email went out. The link was there to register. So, you know, really looking forward to being with you all you ladies out on, you know, there next week, Saturday in the evening in South Africa, obviously in the daytime, you know, if you're somewhere else in the world. But we look forward to seeing you then. And like I said, we will not be on the Restoration Hour then next Sunday, but we will see you again on the 5th of December. Have a beautiful, beautiful week, a Shavuotov. If you are celebrating Hanukkah, I know some people don't, some people do. If you are celebrating, may it be a wonderful time where you just really draw closer to the Father. So shalom, shalom, and see you then.
See you again.
I've been feeling like I'm buried underneath all the things that don't bring peace. Oh, it's been stealing all the joy inside my soul. I've been trying to control, but the truth is nothing else will make me feel alive the way you do. Nothing else will bring the dark to light. Be my desire, burn up inside my heart just like a fire. Anything else that tries to satisfy is a liar. Help me lift you higher. Be my one desire. Be my one desire. Break me down, do whatever it takes. Strip it all away. Only one thing that lasts through every age. Fingerprints on every page. It's you. Nothing else will ever take the place of who you are. Nothing else will ever take your place.